Welcome everybody. In this episode, we'll be covering Webmin, the web-based administration tool. Okay, I'm Mark Clark. People might have heard me before. I've done two other episodes so far. I'm located in South Africa, and I work with Linux and open source solutions, and put all the different bits and pieces together or components together to build solutions for our customers. We also do a lot of Java programming and PHP programming. So essentially a tech geek that does his hobby for a living. Joining me today is Darlene Parker, who will be co-hosting the show with me in future. Hello, Darlene.
Hi, Mark. So just a little about myself. I work with a company that's located in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada. And we focus as well on Linux-based development, and we encourage the adoption of open-source software around the globe. We primarily work in emerging markets to develop local open-source capabilities that are sustainable over the long period. As well, I believe that by sharing insights into tools that are readily available and making Linux more user-friendly, I hope to encourage people to think outside the box. So thank you for having me today, Mark.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining me, Darlene. Okay, now on with the show. So today, after that, we can move on to our topic for discussion today, which will be Webmin. So Webmin, I think as some people know, is a remote administration tool, and Darlene and myself have been toying around with Webmin a little bit for some projects that we've been working on. And so we wanted to give some feedback to other people who might find this tool useful. Darlene, would you like to explain why you started using Webmin or looking at Webmin for the problems that you're trying to address?
I just found that I have a lot of requests from people who'd like to administer many sites, especially if they're spread out on a wide area geographically, mm-hmm. and as well if there are not technical staff on site to manage or configure the systems, that the remote admin tools make a lot of sense. And as well, a web-based application is ideal because it doesn't require you to be physically on site or logged into a specific server in order to make those changes or to run any maintenance tasks.
Okay, great. And have you used any other remote administration tools in the past at all?
I'm familiar with VNC and remote desktop, mm-hmm. but I just thought I'd try this because it was not so text-based, mm-hmm. and had a really good GUI. And I thought people that weren't so technical or so Linux savvy might be able to use this.
Yeah, I mean, in my past when we used Webmin, it's been more of a case where we've got a semi-decent internet connection, and you don't want to use VNC because it's a bit too bandwidth intensive for administration purposes. And you have an administrator who's not necessarily technically savvy on the command line. Well, they might be savvy on the command line in some areas, but they don't, they don't know how to configure bind, for example, but they might know how to configure Apache. And Webmin is ideal for those situations where you need to empower other system administrators to maintain their own systems, but they don't necessarily have all of the skills necessary to do it from the command line. Because I'm sure you also use SSH in the past. SSH is obviously the hardcore way of maintaining your boxes, and it's great. I mean, especially when you've got unreliable internet connections. But often it requires quite a high level of skill for people to use.
Well, just as well with SSH, you have to have it's so secure. Like you have to have the authorized keys to get into the system, and it is quite locked down. It is a very good tool. I use it every day.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, what else was I going to say about Webmin? Also, another advantage of Webmin, I think, is that it's used in many different distributions. So often you get, especially these administrators coming out of some of the schools and colleges that exist, they know how to administrate a Red Hat box, or they know how to administrate a SUSE box, but they end up with something else, like a Ubuntu box or Debian box. And the configuration files are in different places and they're hard to find. The information's the same, but just laid out differently. And often they battle with that, and that's what's great about Webmin. You train somebody once, and then you can install it on any of the distributions, and away they go. They can then configure and maintain any of those distributions.
All right, Mark, so do you want to talk about what Webmin entails and what's in the program for people?
Yeah, let's go ahead and chat about Webmin and how we use it in the day-to-day jobs.
So I just wanted to give an overview. Webmin has 113 standard modules that allow you to do tasks such as configure your system, your servers, your network, hardware, and for my particular scenario, the cluster that allows the installing of software packages on multiple systems concurrently. And out of the modules that are installed, I particularly find useful are ones such as the scheduled cron jobs, users and groups, printer administration, Webalizer log file analysis, Squid Reporter generator, bandwidth monitoring. And I know that I've had users from around the globe, Mark, tell me that they've used Webmin. I've had people from the UK, from Mexico, Libya. So I can tell you that there are a lot of administrators out there aware of its functionality. So, Mark, have you, what particular modules have you used or that you found of interest?
Well, the modules that we use in particular is when we get some of our staff to edit, like DNS zone file records and stuff. Because often if you get the configuration wrong, and if you get one semicolon wrong, your whole bound server won't start up. Or it'll appear to start up, but just in worst case scenario, it won't actually start serving results. So you don't know until somebody suddenly contacts you and tells you that they can't reach certain machines. So we use it in those scenarios. It basically, you know, in South Africa we have a bit of a skills crisis on the go. You know, have not enough people with the right skills to do the jobs. So this way it enables us to, you know, to get to not overburden the people with skills and to enable less skilled people to actually do the work. So there's quite a nice cost saving there as well. And it's also quite empowering as well. It's a good way for people to learn how things work. I mean, typically if you don't know what DNS is and what a zone record is, for example, you know, and you're trying to at the same time learn how the configuration file fits together, it's quite difficult. It's quite a nice way for people to get in touch with the concepts, understand how the different servers work, for example, Apache virtual servers, virtual name servers, that kind of stuff. And then once they understand that, then it's much easier for them to understand how the configuration file works and actually works together with Apache to configure things. So, so that's how we use it. And it's also one of the advantages, of course, is when we get some new customer comes along with some esoteric distribution of Linux that somebody has installed on their machine. You know, we don't have to go and reinstall the whole machine, something we're familiar with. We can just install Webmin on there and then administer the machine that way. So, yeah.
All right. Any other comments that you wanted to share about the program, about Webmin?
I just think there's other areas in Webmin. There's like UserMin. I don't know whether you use UserMin and VirtualMin or the new sort of components that they have over and above the traditional Webmin configuration components. Have you used those at all?
No, I haven't, Mark.
No, because the VirtualMin seems to be quite a good solution for, let's say, sort of supposed like a semi-cPanel kind of solution. So it enables, if you've got a web server, you need to administrate virtual domains for mail and for the websites. You've got many websites on one machine there. Then you can use VirtualMin to do that. So that's quite neat from that point of view. It takes a lot of the pain out of maintaining one of those systems. And then UserMin provides ordinary Linux users with a sort of web interface to maintain their mail, their proc mail files, their fetch mail files, all that kind of stuff. So it's quite nice from that point of view. I haven't actually used it much myself, the UserMin part, but the VirtualMin part looks like something that's worth looking into.
Okay, so now do we just want to tell our listeners how they can find Webmin and how to install it?
Yeah, no, that'll be a good idea. Most distributions will have Webmin already in their repositories. So if you're using something like Debian, you'll use apt-get. If you're using Red Hat or Fedora, you'll use something like Yum. In the case of SUSE, you'll use, I think the new thing's called Zyper, Zyper. There's a new installation package manager. So you can probably find it in the repositories. And if not, I think you can go to the Webmin homepage and actually download a lot of the packages pre-built there from the Webmin, the people that actually produce Webmin.
Okay. And then we wanted to just touch on some security issues.
How have you set up Webmin in the past? Do you access it remotely over your network or remote connections?
Remotely over my network and having to work through the firewall with port forwarding.
Yeah, because one of the issues that often comes up with when you mention Webmin to people is the issue of security, because, you know, you can set up to work on HTTPS, but this is something, you know, you feel inherently insecure leaving that much power available on a web server, even if it doesn't run on port. I know it doesn't run on port 80 by default. It runs on port 10,000 by default. But it's, you know, sometimes people feel a bit insecure about doing that. If you do feel like that, then you can always Just forward, forward, forward 10,000 over SSH. So the whole tunnel's encrypted already before it gets sent over the network. And then if you've got HTTPS running on there as well, it's via another layer of encryption. So that's how often we do it if we do have to access machines remotely. Yeah, and another way some people do it is they first VPN into the network, and then they fire up the browser and access Webmin that way. Is that also another way of having a secure connection to Webmin?
All right. So just to recap then, the advantages and the disadvantages we might see of this program. So I'll just talk to recap the advantages that I see. Mm-hmm. That it installs on most common distros, and like you say, it's in their repositories and easy to get to. That many Linux administrators are familiar with it. And that it has a great GUI for people to use instead of the text command line.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, to avoid those little typing errors that could cause a catastrophe. So Mark, what do you see some of the disadvantages of Webmin?
I think for me, Webmin is it's an intermediate step until you become proficient in the administration of the whole of the machine or the box. But I mean, having said that, it has its place in the sense that if you've got a lot of machines to administer and don't have a lot of time, sometimes graphically administering the box is a lot quicker. So firstly, I prefer to configure things on the command line. But if you've got 50 clients and they all, you have to be configured and maintained, and you have to provide a level of service there, sometimes it's best just to install Webmin. I always at least have it as a backup tool as well, because mm-hmm. if somebody comes with an esoteric server that I've never installed before, I mean, let's say for example, I mainly use Postfix for the SMTP server. When you go to some client to take them over and they're using SendMail or what's the other one? Or QMail, one of those kind of mail applications, which I'm unfamiliar with, then I'll use Webmin to help with the configuration, because I understand the concepts behind setting up a mail server. I don't need to know what all of the specific configuration options are for those different servers. So that's when I'll also tend to use Webmin when I'm feeling a little bit, I don't have enough time to read up on all of the different config options and understand it all, and I want to make sure that it gets configured properly and has reasonable defaults. Then I'll use something like Webmin to assist with that.
Okay. And Mark, you asked me if I'd used any other remote admin tools. Mm-hmm. How about yourself? What other ones are you familiar with?
Well, as I said, I mainly use SSH to do the configuration from the command line. But other remote tools that I've been recently looking at is something called eBox. Because what you see is a whole sort of, appliance kind of software that's coming out these days. Most of them sort of run on like firewall distributions. You'll get like a GUI that can configure everything from DHCP service to DNS and obviously the firewall and those kind of things. But you're also getting ones that help you administrate users, and eBox looks like something that does that. So those are all things that should be looking into. It's just moved towards, in my opinion, it's moved towards like a appliance kind of approach to networking, and especially good for small businesses. And just like you get your ADSL router, no one ever messes with that. You just turn it on and turn it off and it works. And small businesses often like that. It must just work. If there's a problem, just switch it off, switch it on, and it comes right. And I think that's where approach a lot of people are going to with their sort of network management or basic networking services as well. They don't want to have to sit there, click millions of buttons to get something configured and working. So this whole approach is sort of turning it into an appliance. It is a simple interface. Click a few buttons, set a few options, and then it works is really where where a lot of the stuff is heading. And I think you'll see that as well with this whole administration of networks as well.
All right. And you also, did you have some information like about the company that made Webmin or like their philosophy at all?
What I know is Webmin, a while ago, they were run, I think there was something called Cross Country or something like that was owned them. I see now there's another company that seems to have taken them over. So they've got a commercial portion to the system as well. I think that's also led to a bit of a decline in their community, because Webmin at one stage was quite had quite a bit of mind share. It seems to be decreasing over time. So I'm not sure whether that's related to the changes in ownership of the code and the company that's sort of basically sponsoring the development for this application. But yeah, it does seem to be some issues around that, and maybe some of the listeners out there will know a bit more about it. But yeah, it seems, you know, that it's on the up and up in terms of using it as an open source solution in your business. Yeah, and yourself, Darlene, have you had any feedback on using Webmin?
Yeah, it was, you know, I had had it recommended to me by several strong Linux users. Mm. And when I had posted a comment that I was testing it on Ubuntu, right away I had people come back saying it was unsupported and, you know, this idea. And so I think, too, maybe they're not seeing it as true open source, but it is a valuable tool that you can integrate, and it does provide another level of service and support to your system. So I think it's worth investigating.
Yeah, look, I think it does have value. A lot of these projects, open source projects, is one thing we always got to look at when you actually use an open source solution is the, you know, who which company is sponsoring the project, and is there a good community around the project? And you know, there are a couple of these projects which were open source and they seem to have had a commercial entity take an interest in them. I did a podcast recently about firewalls, and one such distribution, for example, was RPCOP. And it does seem that there's, you know, there's some companies battle to get the open source mix right. So maybe they just sort of need to find their way there and sort that out. But you know, before we find somebody on the other side of the radio broadcast now getting really frustrated because we're not we don't have the right idea what's going on. But I think that's our feeling on it. And you know, if anybody knows any more about the company and its direction that it's going, feel free to provide some feedback on it. I mean, I really think it's a good project that you know, needs a bit more exposure and a bit more, could get a bit more people using it and a bit of community behind it.
All right, well, that's all I have to share today, Mark, and how about yourself?
Yeah, that's all for now. I think what we'll do is look at in future episodes, we'll be bringing out maybe look at other tools that can be used for remote administration. But yeah, Webmin was the one that we covered today, and I hope that some of our listeners find this useful.
So just to wrap up today, I really enjoyed the opportunity to co-host with you, and I look forward to our next podcast together. So.
Okay, thanks, Darlene, for co-hosting the show with me. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to listen to this episode, and we'll be releasing more episodes in the future, so keep tuned. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs. Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.